Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Too Many Trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey.
And we have some fabulous trailers for you this episode.
I think we do. And I think what people need to know first is that this is Too Many Trailers, and we are the podcast that talks about two movie trailers every other week.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this week, we have two similar, but the least similar trailers ever?
I think John Wick and All Is True were probably the most divergent we've ever done.
Perhaps.
Perchance. But I think, like, that's still, there's still action.
They've got a theme.
Action.
Action, in quotes. So, on this episode, we're going to cover the trailer for Men in Black International.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
So Dora, who you may know better by her full title and name Dora the Explorer, which I believe is probably on. It's her full name on her birth certificate, Dora the Explorer.
Her last name's the Explorer.
Middle name's that. Dora, Explorer.
DTT is what people call me.
Explorer, Dora the. I'm just being real.
Oh, gosh.
I think you can gather just from the titles that similar, but dissimilar, all at the same time.
Same, but different.
Yes.
Oh, so, yeah. Great, great choices. All right, should we start with Men in Black International?
Yeah, I think you mean Men in Black Ragnarok, actually.
There is no Mark Ruffalo, all right.
But there is.
Chris Hemsworth.
And Tessa Thompson.
Hard eyes emoji. So this movie comes out June 14th, which is a good summer blockbuster time.
Yeah, good opening of summer.
All right, so do we jump right into the behind the trailer facts?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So the director is F. Gary Gray.
Can I just tell you, the first few times I read his name, I read it as F. Gary.
Me too!
We're the same person!
I literally was like, F. Gary?
Gary? What? I was like, that is a name.
I literally was so, like, I was like, all right, I mean, like, good for him. And then I was like, oh, it's Gray.
I know, I had to read it a few times. I was like,
that's his name.
But he has directed other films, like, Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
The Italian Job.
Oh, I love that movie.
Some personal favorites he directed. Some of the music videos for TLC, including Waterfalls.
Hell yeah.
The music video that caused TLC to go broke.
Yeah, pretty much.
FYI, literally in debt because of music video fees.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. It's all about
that waterfall.
You know?
It's all about that waterfall. He's also done, I think, one of the Fast and the Furious films.
The one that's coming out or just came out? Most recent one.
I think the most recent one. Yes. Are the Fast and the Furious or Too Fast, Too Furious?
So many
Tokyo
Fast
Drift,
and Furious.
The Cars movie with
Faster
Owen
and more furious.
More fast, more furious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he's done one of the, I think he's directed
one of those.
Which makes complete sense to
Yep.
me. So it's written by Matt Holloway and Art Makeham, and Lowell Cunningham has taken the characters. Like, he has written the characters.
And Art and Matt, I guess I'll refer to you by your first name.
And them.
They worked together on Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
And everything they've done together. Literally, both of their IMDb pages
are
the
same. Best friends.
But it was interesting because I was like, wow, you're trusting Men in Black to very... They're not new writers, but like they only have like 7 credits each.
Oh, that's not... I
so
mean,
I was like,
a
that's
big franchise. I mean,
to give to, like, less experienced writers, I guess
okay.
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because they're
not newer,
but they don't have a lot of movies under
their
belt.
They don't have those, like, 20 credits that you usually expect with, like, a big budget action film like
right.
this. Yeah.
Or especially that they both have a smaller number, because sometimes you see a pairing of, like, a really experienced mm-hmm. person and a less experienced person, but...
I mean, it makes sense with, like, Iron Man and the Transformers mm-hmm. film. This all lines up.
Yes, definitely.
Composer.
And the composers...
Ooh, excuse me.
Both of these films actually have 2 composers.
Oh, amazing.
One is Chris Bacon. So he's done music for famous films
mm-hmm.
such as Romeo and Juliet, and Sherlock Gnomes.
Oh, just that's, wait, just those two? Just those two?
I mean, he said some other things that were less recognizable.
Those are the most notable.
Those are his gold standard right
Honestly,
there.
Good for him.
But he did also do some TV, like Bates Motel. So much better.
Okay,
much
yeah.
Better. And much more on theme.
On par-ish? Well, Bates Motel's more horror, but...
But, I mean, closer to this genre.
A little bit.
And then the composer he worked with was Danny Elfman. Which, like, you gotta know.
It's that, Danny Elfman. He's that guy.
He's done all the Men in Black films.
Good.
He's done...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He's done everything else in the world, but notably, he's done Avengers Age of Ultron. And in the opposite direction, Justice League.
Literally, both sides of the spectrum.
We try. Yeah. And Kelsey, wanna tell us about the cast?
Yeah. So, the cast. yes, the cast. So the cast has 77 people credited on Internet Movie Database.
Whoa.
Yes. But I feel like most of those people are actually like smaller roles and one-line roles.
Yeah, I'm
like,
sure.
Those aliens, you know.
Yeah, the voicing small aliens.
And everything. But so I'm going to go through just like the main cast of this. So we have Chris Hemsworth. You all know her. Tessa Thompson.
My favorite.
All know her.
What a queen.
What a queen.
But wait, hands up.
Hands up, Marius, and stop.
Hands up. Rainbow Connection time.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You want to sing us into Rainbow Connection?
It's the Rainbow Connection.
I like that Kelsey does it differently
every single time. There's no consistency.
So Tessa Thompson is our Rainbow Connection for this episode.
Do 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 do.
Because I love the sound effects. She is an openly bisexual woman.
Yes, queen.
And I love her so much. And she. So there's hardcore theory, but no factual.
Evidence about it.
Of her dating Janelle Monáe.
Everyone's, it's all speculation.
That she said in an interview, she was like, we mean a lot to each other. And we pretty much was like, we don't want to put any labels on it. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And then.
Janelle Monáe is openly pansexual. Yes.
Yes. But we think that whatever was happening was broken off earlier this year because. Janelle Monáe deleted all of her Instagram things with Tessa Thompson.
Oh, really?
And they did not associate with each other at the Met Gala.
Really? Yes. Ooh, this is some hardcore
gossip. Here you go, in the lesbian in the lesbian gossip.
This is what you guys came here for.
I know. But she's also very openly like pro having her character Valkyrie in the Marvel comics date Brie Larson's character of Captain Marvel.
Right, and so is Brie Larson.
Yes, they're both very
like
we would
retweet
this,
fan art and everything. Like,
do
please,
for
the love of fucking God, do this.
Give this to the gays. They want it
they
so bad.
They are thirsty for this.
Yes, literally. And she was very outspoken about how her. The character of Valkyrie is supposed to be bisexual.
Technically, even, yeah.
And they didn't, there wasn't a scene that they filmed for Thor Ragnarok that was deleted.
It was
and
cut.
She was very outspoken about how that was.
It shouldn't have been. I mean, like, it, like, even if you, like, watch Thor Ragnarok, it is very, the way they, like, kind of pose it, it is still kind of like, oh, it kind of seems
you,
like it
like,
kind
you
of,
know if you're looking for
if
it.
If you're looking for it, it's definitely there. You can definitely see, like, this was, like, someone that she loved. This is a woman that she loved and everything, and she was killed in the war with the Valkyrie. You've seen that movie.
But there was supposed to be a scene where she, like, explicitly stated it.
So she was like, I loved her.
and then they cut it, and
she was
very,
just like,
excuse me, Marvel, we don't cut representation.
What the fuck, Marvel? But you heard that episode.
Yes. That whole episode.
That whole two-hour episode.
All right. That's the end of my Rainbow Connection for now.
Great. I like that one. All right. So moving on. We have Rebecca Ferguson, Liam Neeson, Emma Thompson, Kumail Nanjiani, and Rafael Spall.
Love it.
Great cast. Main cast. Great.
Great. You want to jump right into the discussion?
Yeah.
All right,
let's begin.
So the opening shot you get is the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah.
So I have a question for you.
You're up.
How do you feel about the Eiffel Tower being used to set you in a place. Do you feel similar about how you feel about New York City shots? Where you're like, fucking stop using these shots! We understand where we are!
I mean, I honestly, like, I barely paid... It was such a quick scene that, like, I barely paid attention to it. And I couldn't really, like, recognize that it, like... I mean, I recognized that it was Eiffel Tower, but it didn't, like, sink in.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there was, like, the Chateau Marmont that you can, like, use. That was not a real word. I apologize to France.
It's okay.
You can do... I mean, like, if you use, like, the Moulin Rouge, or you use, like, the Eiffel Tower, or you use, like, the arches of Notre Dame or whatever, like, that, like, don't. Like, you can just show, like, a vaguely French, like, street, and, like, it'll be fine.
Right.
But I'm sure that because of the fact that this is Men in Black International...
They want to like, make sure that... Let me show you how we mean international.
They want to make sure that the audience knows that we are not really in America in this movie, so just sit down, buckle up, and enjoy. Like, it, one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they could have used something, but to drive home the point of international, like, it's a landmark. Like, if it was international, so, like, let's
say... So if something was labeled, so, like, let's say if it was Men in Black, New York City, and then they used an opening shot with the Empire State Building, would you still be mad? Kelsey's eye just twitched, like, I mean, involuntarily, so like, she could not control it.
Let's bring this back. I'll let you know how I would feel. If the Men in Black series wasn't originally, like, posted in New York, like, originally it was, like,
right
in... Berlin, LA. Like, or Berlin, like, let's give it, like, a weird,
because
it's international, so if there were, like, two German
dudes
who were, like, fighting aliens, and then they were, like, oh, let's do this internationally, and then they showed, like, New York and LA, like, the Hollywood sign, I wouldn't be, like, that miffed because of the fact that it's, you're trying to set the place of the movie that's outside of what we contextually know.
Okay. I was just wondering. I, like, saw it in the opening shot. I was like, pause.
Write it down.
Will Kelsey hate this?
Maybe, kind of. Not really. There's context behind it.
Yes.
Okay.
Can we talk about how Chris Hemsworth looks like a completely different human?
He does? He looks like he lost, 30 pounds. Yeah.
Right, he's so small. And his hair at the, like, in-between length, where it's, like, actually, or it's not, like, Ragnarok short, but it's not, like, original Thor long. It's just...
It's not his wig, and it's not his other wig. But it... I think this is, like, clearly, like, this is who Chris Hemsworth really is.
I know, so weird.
I feel like because, like, we're so used to him because of the fact that, you know, worldwide audiences know him... Mainly from Thor, and he really hasn't done... He's done, like, a few things outside, but he's mostly, like, jacked with muscles and everything.
Right.
Which is great, but...
Like, El Royale.
El Royale, and, like, he was in, like, a long-haired and mustachioed person. Right. I feel like this is, like, actually, like, Chris Hemsworth just, like, playing a character rather than just, like, this is a person in a movie. It's like, hi, I'm Chris Hemsworth. Playing a character.
I am Chris Hemsworth playing myself
in a movie. Because he looked like that in the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's what the closest he looked like was.
So when I first, in this first opening shot showed, we're seeing like Chris Hemsworth and Liam Neeson like going through like some...
On a mission.
And immediately I was like, oh, okay, so this is the movie where like person A... You know, and person B are, like, on a hunt, and then person A gets, like, hurt or injured or killed, and then person C, like,
becomes a new team member.
Which is literally the first plot of Men in Black.
And I feel like it's the plot of every movie?
Every, like, buddy cop type
that's
movie.
Every
movie, but...
Every movie of this similar nature.
Right. Could you imagine, like... The movie Elf with that plotline. Be great.
I bet there's a way to prove that this is the plot to every movie.
Oh, I'm sure that there's like somewhere online on like the dark web where like some person
stayed like, up for 48 hours straight.
Just like writing like this like
a novel.
Like
a
literally 100K word like manifesto about how like that plotline is the plotline to every single fucking film.
In the world.
I'm sure that's...
I'm sure it exists on the internet.
It's the internet. I keep forgetting Tessa Thompson is American. Every single time she talks.
I know. She was talking in the... So she does, like, the voiceover scene. And I was like, I think this is Tessa Thompson, but also I'm not sure. And then I saw that it was her talking. And I was like, but I love your accent. that you'd have for Valkyrie in, like, other films.
Your New Zealand accent.
It's really good. Do you want to use it for this film, too?
And she didn't, which is fine.
Which is fine, because she's an actress.
I know. Whatever.
So but then,
also, oh my god.
Yeah, right? So, so after the scene with, like, Christopher Hemsworth, oh my god.
Dude, Christopher Hemsworth is probably his father.
No, Christopher Hemsworth, just call me Chris. Christopher is my father.
Yeah.
So Chris Hemsworth and Liam Neeson, they're fighting, and then we cut the scene with Tessa Thompson, like, putting her hand in the portal thing.
Yeah.
The barrier, whatnot. And she goes into the facility. She's like, fuck yeah, I found it. She's like,
I found you. And now you're going to let me in.
Which is literally, again, the plot to Men in Black 1, which is, I'm not complaining. I love that movie. And so we have her going, like, the suits and everything. And then,
well, she says to Emma, right? Oh my gosh. So yeah, Emma Thompson is there. And she's like, why should we let you in or whatever? And then, or she was like, what's a suit going to do for all that? And Tessa Thompson just looks at her and goes, well, it looks damn good on you. And then it got snapped. Oh, snap. And I was like, well, that's the best music editing I've ever heard in any trailer on this earth.
I knew I was like, at first I was like, oh, that's really cheesy. But I'm like, but I love it so
right,
much.
Right. I was like, oh my god, this is too much. But which it's is just enough for me.
Which is crazy because the fact that it's such a good moment where you think, like, okay, so you have, like, you're obviously buddy copying these two characters, like, Liam Neeson, and then you're bringing in Tessa Thompson, and you're like, oh, whatever, it's going to be, like, this, like, female love interest that eventually Chris Hemsworth, which could, it's possible, but
I really hope it doesn't.
But what this is stating to me is that it's, like, clear, like, divisive. She is clearly not interested in men.
To me. It could be.
Like, where
I was like, hello, are you going to be a gay, or am I reading too far?
No, that is not too far. That is clear, like, she is interested in Emma Thompson, because Emma Thompson looks like a fucking queen. Anyway.
And so does Tessa Thompson when she puts on the suit.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, when she puts on, so with the music editing, after they do the whole, oh snap, then they, like, did a great job editing for when she was putting on her sunglasses and straightening her tie, and I was like, help me.
You're like, this is the movie for me.
I know. I was like, well, her, this is going to be a great time.
Excitement was so, but like, so genuine pure and amazing.
And I love her.
It reminds me so much of when, like, women are, like, finally, like, allowed in, like, the space of men. You know what I mean? When they, like, finally are like, oh my god, I can do this too. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, and she has that smirk at the end, like, right before they cut into the next scene, and I was like, is the greatest.
Yeah, she was like, this is life. Fucking amazing.
But then, so then they walk her into the facility and stuff, and they're showing her around for a second, and then she meets, and they're like, introducing Chris Hemsworth character, and they're like, he's one of the best in our department, blah, blah, blah. And then he's asleep at his desk, and she drops things on his desk, and he is like, blah! And she's like, shit, I thought you were, like, faking it! And he's like, oh my god, we should get lunch. She was like, it's 9:30. And he's like, whatever, it's fine. And I was like, okay, cool. That's
literally me.
But I also, so, like, two things. I really love their chemistry together when they work together. I think that they make a really fabulous team, and they plot. And they play off each other very well. But I really hope they don't dumb his character down too much, because, like, you get that all the time in these kinds of films where they're like, oh, he's the greatest person on this mission, and he's such a good shot, and, like, he's really good,
but
he's
a
fighter, but he's
a stupid person.
But he's stupid, and nobody cares, and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I hope we don't do that. And that would be, like, similar to his character that he played in Ghostbusters, because he was, like, an idiot, which was whatever, because it made sense in that film.
Right.
But, like, you don't need to do that for this film.
No. And I feel like what they're trying to do is which is not a bad, I'm not trying to, like, say, like, this is a bad thing, but they're just trying to really, like, lift Tessa Thompson's character up, being like, she's the competent one. She, like, let's remember, like, this is her story, and this is really not Chris Hemsworth. And he's the female character in this plotline.
Right.
Which is, you're kind of not understanding gender dynamics, I guess, what I'm trying to... It's weird, because it's, like, our same conversation we had in Endgame, where it's not understanding the balance between having being the sidekick and not, and like being like the main person in the film and understanding it's like just because they're a sidekick, they don't need to be like the dumb blonde bimbo.
Right. And we don't need to like make a guy super dumb to make the woman seem smart.
Right.
Like they can both be, like they can, he can be super competent and really smart, and you can also show that she's as smart, or if you want to show that she's smarter, doesn't mean you need to dumb him down to do it. Women can be smarter than men when they're already smart.
Right, exactly.
So I was like, why are we dumbing him down to show that she's more competent?
Right,
like, we don't need to do that. We can tell that she's competent by the fact that she found y'all, so that's all we need to do. He could be, like, a perfect agent in every single way, and she would still look good.
Right, exactly, because you don't, you just don't need to do that. And I think that's, like, a little bit of a trend we're having recently, and I don't like it. There's a few trends in writing
because
that I don't
like. They're like trying to show like females empowered and things like that, and we're like, okay, but you don't have to make everybody else less to show them,
right?
Women can stand strong on their own,
right? Exactly.
So I hope they don't do that to him, and I hope we keep her as like strong, independent, and we don't. You know what I mean? Like, some of what they do to, like, female characters is they start them off to be, like, super strong and independent, and then by the middle,
they're like, I need your help!
I need help! I'm no longer strong and independent because I'm in over my head, and only you, the man, can tell me what I need to do and help me get out of this situation.
Right, and
I will kill someone.
Right. Please don't kill me.
I won't. Don't worry. It will not be you.
Okay, good. No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's just, and especially when we have all male writers, and I, like, and
it happens,
and because it's like, oh, like, they just think that, oh, this is fine. Like,
they're like, look at me, elevating women, and you're like, ah, you're so close,
and I feel like sometimes it just misses the mark.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially with that scene with, you know, Emma Thompson and Tessa Thompson, you know, you have that, like, oh, but you look good in the suit, too. And it's like,
but a guy doing it, so at the same time, you're like, how are you going to play this up?
Right, exactly. And I feel like it's, like, that's, I mean, obviously, like, yes, a woman can say that to another woman, but it feels like something that a guy would say to a woman. You know what I mean? It's, like, very masculine, masculine type of
phrase,
but, again, that's not bad for, like, you know what I mean. Like,
I do know what you mean.
To explain without, like, because there's, like, so many gender dynamics that it goes into.
Are you being a gay? Or are you just sucking up?
Right.
Or are you being a woman that just also is comfortable enough to say that another woman looks good? Or there's so many options.
There's so many, like, I mean, which is, like, I guess a good
thing. Which is fine.
Thing, but
like, I hope if we're going to make her, if we're going to make her queer at all, that I really hope that
it's done well.
That's all I want in my life is good queer representation.
Not that difficult to do, but obviously people have issues with that.
Okay.
All right. So are the dancers the bad guys in the film?
Right. So interesting. I know, because you cut to the dance floor scene and then you see, like,
a person
dancing coming towards you, and you're like,
and then, like, in, like, a later, like,
why are
little
we
tidbit, like, yeah, and then, like, a little tidbit scene, you see them, like, in the street, like,
kind of dancing,
and
right?
I'm like, the fuck are you guys doing here? So, I'm
so
interested
weird.
To see what's going on there.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think, you know how you were talking about how we usually replace person number A with person number C as the other new team member?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're going to kill Liam Neeson, maybe not at the beginning,
halfway
but in the
through.
Middle for motivation?
Absolutely.
Right? 100%. I was like, come on!
Because you see him in
the scene
with Tessa Thompson, which is probably, like, the beginning of the movie. And then I think that either that he's going to be kidnapped or something. Something's going to happen with Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I was like, guys, don't make it that predictable.
Yeah, I was just like,
it's all right.
Okay.
I know, I was like, so we're going to kill him for motivation.
Sure.
This is what's going to happen, and that's how it's going to
then we're
going to
be
great.
Fine. In this trailer, like, as a whole, I feel like there's a lot of unnecessary fade-outs that don't need to happen at, like, the weirdest fucking spots. And I can totally, like, understand that, like, that he's directed, that F. Gary Gray has directed, like, a Fast and Furious film because, yes. like, those trailers have a lot of unnecessary fade-outs, but they kind of work because it's, like, cars it's a turning.
Fast and Furious film.
Right. But, like, they, like, did, like, a lot of fade-outs when they're, like, jumping, and I'm like, we don't need to show in the shot.
It's okay.
it was very, like, it just, like, took me out of the trailer a bit a lot of the times, and I was just like, ooh.
It was hard. I felt it was weird. Like, even, like, for my... like, things I was thinking about afterwards. I was like, it was a good trailer, but, like, it could have been a lot better.
It could have been
if we had done some things a little differently.
Yeah.
We could have done much better.
I feel like they cut it together and were like, oh, it needs something.
Fade out!
Every 2 seconds, we gotta fade out. And then fade right back in.
Right.
And I was just like, ooh, maybe not so great. Good Lord. But I do have to say, I was really impressed with the editing, with the music.
Yes.
Especially when Chris Hemsworth picks up the hammer and, like, throws it at the guy. And he was like, and he caught it as, like, the music stopped.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, good catch. I don't know how you caught that. It was a good catch.
What did you think of their song choice of London Bridge?
Honestly, iconic. It was... It's really good because they're like, it happens in London. It's like, how come I was like, I don't know what is happening, but I am in love with this song choice. It is perfect.
I know. Oh my gosh. And also you just singing that right now was everything I dreamed of and more. But when I like was listening to it, I was like very into it. And then at the very end, like once the trailer ended, I was like, what the fuck song am I singing? And I was like, what? And
I was like, but the thing is like that song is from like 12 years ago.
I know.
And I'm like, God damn, Fergie's still making a comeback.
Love it.
But
I was just like, what a song choice.
I mean, like, are there any, like, other songs that are, like, specifically, like, about London that aren't, like, sad and weepy? That are, like, fun and boppy?
I don't know.
No.
Kelsey's dead sure. She's
I'm
like,
dead sure.
No.
There was like, no, London by Fergie.
London Bridge by Fergie is only the only option. Let's do it.
All action movies. You should have, like, some other, like, song by Fergie, like, in the action movie sequence.
Like what?
I don't know. Like, okay. Give me, like, give me, like, Mission Impossible and, like, a Fergie song. Big girls don't cry. That's not a...
That is a Fergie song.
Oh, that is a Fergie
song.
Good
job.
Thank you.
But I'd love to see how you fit that in a minute.
And then, like how, like, classical music, it's, like, inserted. I want Fergie.
Kelsey specifically wants Fergie singing Big Girls Don't Cry to an action film trailer.
But yeah.
All right. Do you have more thoughts, feelings, opinions about this film? Trailer?
Will you see this film in theaters, Netflix, VOD, on TV? Not at all.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I want to see it for Tessa Thompson.
See it for Chris Hemsworth.
We could go together and just go to see the
people.
All right,
I'll gladly spend $15 to see Chris Hemsworth.
Can we go on Tuesday where it's $6?
$6, absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, same. Maybe.
Sold.
I mean, I feel like it'd be like a fun movie with the family.
Yeah.
I saw Men in Black 3 with my mom and dad, and they really enjoyed it. So
good.
I mean, we're a Men in Black family.
Of course you are.
Aliens in action.
This
yeah.
literally fits into
my family 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like they'll be like, oh, let's see a movie. Let's go see Men in Black International. I feel like it'd be like a good, fun romp to see.
And you'll be like, I'm sorry, family, this film is called Men in Black Ragnarok.
Or you just like go up to the theater and like you're just like training the cards.
You're just writing over it. You're like, Ragnarok.
All right.
So we're going to take a little break.
And then we'll be back to discuss Dora and the
Explorer.
Dora and the Lost City of Gold. Do-do-do-do-do-Dora. Do-do-do-do-do-Dora. Do-do-do-do-Dora. Do-do-do-do-Dora. Let's go!
Dora, 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 the Explorer.
Well, welcome back.
Unexpected opening.
Of singing the Dora the Explorer theme song.
Which, can I just tell you, Kelsey knew 99% of the words, too.
Except for Boots as Super Cool as yes. Dora Dora. That I didn't know.
Because those aren't words that make a real sentence.
No.
So, like, how would you know?
Yeah, I grew up watching Dora the Explorer. Which is a wild concept.
Wild.
Not me watching it. Just knowing that this... We know what
we can get into this in the discussion.
Absolutely.
You know what we should do?
What should we do?
Probably do the behind the trailer effect so we can jump back into that
idea. I think that's a good idea.
All right.
So, this movie is called Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
I.e. Dora the Explorer.
Film. So, the director is James Bobbin.
He has done both of the Muppets films. Okay. And Alice Through the Looking Glass. Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass. Mm-hmm. And then some random, really small stuff.
Great.
Super weird.
The Muppets, A+. That movie, the Muppets movie, is legitimately a great film. Oh, that's right.
I think I cried a lot. Oh my gosh, no! Oh my gosh, I felt... Like, I think watching the Muppets movie was the closest I've ever felt connected to a character. Because when he... When the main Muppet guy meets Kermit and he passes out, I was like, oh, that's me. Oh. And he's like, we're gonna meet Kermit, oh my gosh, and then he passes out, and then he actually meets Kermit, and he's like, I'm gonna be too fine, guys, I'm gonna be cool, I'm gonna be fine, and then he passes out, I was like, oh, it's me, as a Muppet. Did you feel similarly?
No.
Shut up! Come on!
I mean, like, I haven't really encountered a celebrity encounter really
neither
before.
Have I, but I can predict.
You've been closer. You've, like, talked to James Marsters at Comic-Con in Boston.
You're right.
And then you Amber met Benson. And you met one at, Comic-Con, too. You had her sign
Amber Benson.
That was Amber Benson.
Yes, it was.
So, you've, like, actually met celebrities.
I know. But, like... I can imagine that I would literally pass out meeting some people.
I mean, that's very true.
Or completely black out the entire experience.
Oh, absolutely. Tunnel vision, just like pass out right on their table.
Ears start ringing. I start like, yelling.
And they'll be like, do you need an ambulance?
And I'm like, no, I just need you to sign my stuff.
I know I'm never going to have those experiences because I'm going to physically remove myself from those situations because I know that if I ever meet, like, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, or Sebastian Stan, I mean, like, one of them, whatever, I would literally just, like, have a panic attack. So I wouldn't be able to, like, to function. So I don't relate to that because I don't have the intention of meeting anyone because I don't want to embarrass myself.
But he didn't have the intention of meeting Kermit either. He just happened upon him. No, he was like, fuck! Going down.
I feel like I just never had the feeling of, because I've always been like, nope, not gonna deal with this.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn around.
But yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Great director.
Great film. Loved it.
So the writers are Matthew Robinson, Nicholas Stroller, and it's based on the show by Chris Grifford, Valerie Walsh, and Eric Weiner. And the story is by Tom Wheeler.
All right, so Matthew Robinson has done nothing, pretty much. But he's going to do the adapted screenplay for the Little Shop of Horrors movie.
Oh, okay.
Coming up. Nicholas Stroller has been on the pod.
He's been on the pod?
He has. He did Night School. And then...
Another successful film.
Colin Back, too, also did The Muppets.
Keep it in the family.
And Tom Wheeler has done all of the Puss in Boots movies.
Iconic, honestly.
Honestly.
Who are the composers for this film?
Thank you for remembering there, too. So,
you're welcome.
Similarly to in Men in Black... Mm-hmm. International. Mm-hmm. We paired like a really high profile composer with a very
low profile.
So the low profile person is Germaine Franco. Mm-hmm. And she has done the...
Oh wait, first of all, she?
Whoop whoop!
That's so nice.
I love a good female composer.
Add it to your list.
Whoop whoop. I don't remember what else is on the list.
No, there's so much now.
I don't know.
We should have written it down.
I have part of yours written down.
Oh, thanks.
Also, I just remember that you love a good heist, so you love a good scoop neck and some other things.
I love a good long sleeve t-shirt.
You do love a good... You really love a good long sleeve scoop neck t-shirt.
Oh, those are the best.
She did the music for the movie Tag.
Oh, another film.
on the pod. But we didn't cover composers for that because we didn't do behind the trailer facts.
Oh, that was right. That was part of our year in review.
And the other higher profile person is John Debney, who I did not know by name. But, so two things. A, he's done a shit ton. He does, I think, maybe we did cover him. Hold on one second. Hold, please. I meant to check this, but I forgot.
God, he's also been on the pod.
Also friend of the pod, John Debney.
Friend of the pod.
When we talked about him during Hocus Pocus.
Ah, yes.
We mentioned that he did Iron Man and Ice Age. However, I'd also like to include that he has done The Princess Diaries, Elf, and just closer to this genre, he did, like, the Jungle Book and things like that. Also, he has the same last name as Alicia Dunham Carey. Oh, has another slight rainbow connection, and Alicia Dunham Carey is the best.
Honestly, this is, like, not the biggest jump you've ever made for your rainbow connection.
Not
which
at all.
Which is shocking.
They have the same last name. They could be related.
They have the same last name. It's not like
you are lucky I did not go down a rabbit hole earlier
with Tessa Thompson
trying to figure. Yes, A. And B, you're lucky I didn't go down a rabbit hole trying to figure out if they were related or not. I controlled myself.
And we're going to keep it that way.
So Alicia Dunham Carey played Lexa on The 100, and that started an entire movement in the queer community, and that's all I'll say.
I'm not pinching my nose because of that, just FYI.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not, okay.
Please see my Twitter for more information.
Marion's just going to, like, now just, like, retweet her whole... her whole feed for, like, the year of, what was it, 2014?
2016.
That was a bad year.
That was a bad year.
Moving on.
Moving right along. Kelsey, do you want to tell us about the cast?
Yeah, so I'm also just gonna, I think there was, like, 47 main cast members. A lot of them side characters and whatnot, but I'm just gonna, do the core that don't have, like, person B in a crowd. So we have Isabella Moner. We have Benicio del fucking Toro as Swiper, which is my favorite fucking credit he's ever done. He is an Oscar nominated actor also.
In the Dora film.
There are a lot of like high profile, but okay. But what I do like about them, they are all
Hispanic
or Mexican American or Latinx. And it's really amazing.
I know. So the person that plays, when you get to her, I'll tell you.
Right. We have Michael Peña, as you would know him from Ant-Man as Lewis. We have Tamara Morrison. We have Danny Trejo as...
from Everything.
As Boots, the monkey.
I know, I can't.
Love it.
Like, that's like using, what's his face as Groot?
Vin Diesel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Literally was like, Vin Diesel.
We have Eva Longoria. We have Eugene Odebis, I believe his name is. We have Kjorniak Kilcher.
She is actually part Native Peruvian.
Yo, really?
And she's going to play like the princess character.
Yes, she
who is.
Is
supposed to be like a Native princess.
Right.
And she is a Native person. So I was like,
it's incredible.
What, Nickelodeon? You did casting?
Whoever the cast director is, I just want to shake their hand because it's actually,
well,
like, really, really well done. Especially the high school scene where it's, like, a mixture of students, like, a legitimate, like, it makes sense what a high school, like, a high school in, like, a city would look like. It wouldn't just be, like, 90% white people and, like, 2 black people and, like, someone who's Latinx. Like, there is, like, a substantial, like, amount of diversity within the high school, and I think that's really impressive, at least from the scenes we see.
Right. It's kind of reminded me of the, like, Black Panther cast.
Yes.
Because it was,
that's
like,
literally
so
what I was
many
referring.
People that I want to see and not so many white people. I love it.
That's literally when I was, like, looking at the cast, I was like, wow, this really reminds me of the Black Panther cast. And I was like, wow, that's, I just hate that I'm referring to one film, but... But here we are, and we're
here
gonna,
we are. But
we're gonna
2019 is gonna get a little better. We hope.
Oh God, I
and
hope.
And pray.
We have Christopher Kirby, Madeline Madden, and we have Adelana Bardiza and Jeffrey Wahlberg as our cast.
Love it.
Literally amazing.
Great.
Great. So you want to jump right into the discussion?
Sure.
Great.
My first thing that I had to write was when, I don't know who you watched the trailer posted by, but
what a trip to watch a film trailer posted by Nickelodeon Studios.
I know.
I mean, this is a thing that I'm doing.
Yeah, this is a thing that I'm doing right now, watching a trailer from Nickelodeon. I mean, Nickelodeon used to make, like, movies, though, like, a while ago.
Like The Rugrats in Paris.
Like The Rugrats in Paris, the Jimmy Neutron movie. And we have, I mean, but I feel like they've made, like,
live-action films,
but yeah. I feel like they stopped
but this is like
a long time ago.
A new level.
This is a fucking great level. I think that her costume is the best costuming I've ever seen. Far better than any, I don't know, DC film I might have seen. It is so, like, the T of, like, the Dora the Explorer series. I mean, it's like, it's, I mean, she has an iconic, like, outfit. She has
She sure does.
She has the purple backpack. She has, like,
she has the shorts. She has the sneakers with the socks that go too high.
She has the bangs. Like, I mean, I don't know. But the thing is, it's like, it's, I'm, like, because it's so easy to mess it up. I guess I'm taking, like, this as a grain of salt because I've, like, been so disappointed by a lot of things in film and media lately, and I feel like...
You're like, God damn it, at least we're doing Dora.
I need something, right. And I feel like this is, like, they're like, okay, you get it.
Like, at least you're doing Dora's damn costume right.
It's as much as I can expect. Yeah.
Something right off the bat that I was like, wow, I don't know if we really needed to talk about her not being able to, not looking where she was leaping as she was actively in a leap.
Right.
I was like, maybe a stretch.
I mean, maybe a little stretch, but also this movie is for kids.
Right, I want to know who the audience,
what their
anticipated age group is for this.
I think, which is, it's so weird because, I mean, granted, Dora the Explorer, I think, is still on. I think she's just, like, a little older, technically, now.
I think they did try to do some older things with her. They should try to make her, like,
13 or something.
Because they tried to do, like, what they did with Rugrats All Grown Up.
Right.
With it, but I don't know how it worked.
Don't even talk to me about Rugrats All Grown Up. I'm so mad at that.
Okay, there is a lot of strong feelings about that. Like, no, there is, like, good stuff.
Some, like, it's, like, it's a, there is, like, a divisive thing about
it. It is a divisive topic. I brought it up and was talking about how I don't like it with somebody once, and I feel like I got my head bit off.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. And I feel like because, like, in the... Because when I used to watch it, she was, like, 7 or something.
Somewhere between 5 and 7.
Right. She was, like, a kid. And, but then they, like, aged her up a little bit, which was fine, I guess, because it's, like, you're trying to keep that, like, not, like,
you're trying 9, to, like, 10, follow the age group so that people keep watching it.
Which makes sense for a marketing thing.
Absolutely.
And then they introduced Diego, which was, like, her cousin.
Diego! Woo! And he knew all about animals.
Because he was Safari Dude. I didn't watch the show.
I love that. So Diego Go was good.
Yeah.
I liked it because it was very focused on the animals. You learned a lot of great facts.
Right. And I feel like because, like, Dora was more, like, problem-solving, and his was more animal-based, it, like, balanced
well. I'm gonna save all the animals!
And I'm gonna get you through the mountain!
Dora's like, I'm gonna climb over this mountain! He's like, I'm gonna go save those baby turtles!
I'm gonna go pet that bear,
I'm gonna save you from that bear after? Cousins!
Can that be our episode title?
Cousins! Familia!
Yeah, familia! So I feel like this is like they're also trying to age her up. They're trying to capture those people who are like, which is weird to say because there's like, it's because I understand like what they're trying to do with like Michael Peña, Eva Longoria, Benicio del Toro. Like they're trying to like capture like the parents that can also like go to their children with it. But I also feel it's like, it's weird because of the fact that she's going to high school.
And it's Dora
the Explorer. So we're like, what? Like, I mean, when you watch the trailer, they're like, okay, we're gonna trapped into Safari, and like shit happens. So I feel like it's like a good family film if your child's like 9.
But I watched this whole trailer a few times.
Yeah,
and I was like, I still couldn't gather. I was like, who are you trying to get reach. This? Like, who are you trying to reach? Like, right. What's your target audience? Because it's very unclear. Because you're like, okay. Are you trying to, like, we've seen a lot of other, like, kind of similar, like, reboots of things right. Where you're trying to, like, pull back with nostalgia. And I was like, the only thing nostalgic about this is their outfit. But it's fine. And, like, boots. Right. Which, like, we can get to boots in
I'm
a minute
waiting for that fucking map to come out.
Wow. I know. Where the fuck is your backpack with your map? Jesus.
We gotta get that fucking map. If I don't get the fucking map song, I will be mad as shit.
See, I think
they're not going to pull as much of the nostalgia in, though. Because right, I'm not sure where not, they're trying to, like, who they're gonna, trying to appeal to.
They're not trying to appeal to the 25 and older crowd that actually watch the series, but, which I know, make but, sense. But, like,
so they're not doing it. Kids, right, like, but so they're not doing it, like, Christopher Robin style. Right. And they're not doing it, like, what the fuck's
it? The Lion King.
Thank you. Like, The Lion King or anything else where it's, like,
nostalgia bombs.
Perfect. And I was like, but what are you trying to do? Because if you put her in high school, then you're able to do a lot of, like, I feel like they should have done, like, middle school.
Well, I think that's...
Because I was like, why are we aging her up so much? Like, why are you going to make jokes about going to rave parties and things like that?
But I think that's
But also your target audience is age 5 to 7?
But the like, thing is, what? Kids, like, know what, like, dance parties are now. No, it's not like we're... I mean, like, a rave is, like, super specific, but it's like the kids know and still listen to, like, quote-unquote rave music because there's no language and everything in it. But I feel like she's, like, probably, like, 13 in the film, and she's just going to the high school just to, like, because she's just with her cousin. Like, he's just taking
she's,
her around.
But no, she's going to school. She's starting school, yeah.
So the she's, like, 14
The
then.
Teacher is like, where did you move here from? And she's like, the jungle. And I'm like, what the fuck? And the security guard, when he's checking her bag and she has all the weapons,
that was
like,
a fun gag.
I don't like that.
I did enjoy the gags that were in because they're very family-friendly gags, like her getting stuck in the bus or, like,
well, that like, was funny, but I was like oh, I don't know if we should take weapons out of her bag in a school setting.
Well, okay, yeah.
I didn't like that.
One was a flare.
I know, but I was like, I don't like this. Yeah. Like, if it had been a gun, like, I would have been really mad.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was like,
well, because one, they're not weapons. Like one's a pickaxe where it's like you're trying to climb. It's a rock
but
climbing gear.
But what can you use a pickaxe for?
Well, that's the joke.
I know, but like, no, but I, no, sorry, not in a joke way. I mean, like, there are other ways you could use a pickaxe in a much more violent way.
Kids, when normal children are watching this, you're not going to be like, oh, they're going to, like, supernatural.
It's weaponry.
I know, but, like, that's the joke.
I don't like it.
But anyways, I feel like they couldn't, they're trying to age up Diego because it makes sense in a way of, like, family relations to say, like, oh, you're my younger cousin, I have to protect you, but she's also, like, well, I'm also competent enough because I do adventures in the
fucking jungle all and the all time. You're doing is going to high school.
Right, exactly. Which is an adventure in itself. Which I feel like that's why maybe it works out for children or middle schools because, A, you could probably show this in, you know, middle school. A.
I don't know.
Because it's PG.
But I know, but I don't think... I don't... See, it's so hard because Dora, like, is so, like... By, like, those older kids seen as so little kiddish. I don't know if older kids are going to go see this.
Well, that's the thing.
So I'm like, why didn't you make it younger to actually get your target audience that actually would watch it? Because I don't know if they'll be able to get them.
That's why I feel like it's a movie where your mom and dad is going to take you to your first, like, quote-unquote action film. Because you have all these scenes where it's... Where you see them in actual, like, adult action films where you're getting trapped in the water when it's spooning from the spout as a booby trap. Or you're running through the forest and the log
hits. It's like mini Indiana Jones.
It's mini Indiana Jones. And I feel like that's a good introduction for, like, if kids are really, like, interested in action films, this is a perfect film because it has that family element of being like, we want you to be safe, so we're going to put you with your cousin when you go to high school just so you can experience life and everything. But we're also going to have those action elements that your parents can enjoy and the kids can enjoy being like, oh, it's so cool. And then they, like, hit the thing with the log and the log rolled and they were still with the log.
Your parents got kidnapped. Let's go save them.
But, like, that is, like, an action trope, you know? It's that thing where it's, like, that twist where he's like, I'm gonna find your parents or where took your parents or whatever the fuck.
I'm gonna go find them by myself.
Like, that is, like, the action trope. Like, that is the adventure trope, which is, you see...
And that is the kid's, like, adventure trope also.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like, my parents are in trouble. Let me go save them.
I need to help my parents because I love my parents.
And because I am older than I look.
And I believe in the nuclear family. And so... I feel like it's, like, this thing where it's, you know, like, movie execs are like, okay, we want to make this something that, you know, mom and dad could actually want to buy a ticket to as well because you're maximizing your profits. So it's not like your mom, you know, bringing you and, like, your 6 friends, you know, go see this. And your mom's just like, for the love of God, if this fucking monkey talks one more time, I will get out of here and leave these children. Like, one of those things where...
Whoa, you could have said that in a fucking Dora film?
That was
literally what happens to Dora.
That was extreme. But you know what I mean, where it's like, so the mom and the dad are engaged, and the kid's engaged too. So you're actively buying more tickets, you know.
Yeah, I just don't know how many kids they're going to get.
To
be honest.
Kids... In, like, a small sense of being, like, 11.
No, I know. I just don't know if those 11-year-olds are going to be like, I'm not going to see that. Doors for little kids. Doors for babies, blah, blah, blah. And they're not, and they're going to, like,
right.
reject it.
I mean.
I don't know. Yeah. It could go either way. But
I can have those. Because it's a PG film, you can, like, literally just drop your kids at the film, like, of the movie theater, probably.
Drop your kids at
the I know what I mean. And being, like, they're, like, 12. And they'll be like, oh, go have fun for 2 hours. Because they're 12, I mean, like, whether, or you go sit back three rows and you let them have, be like, where are the movies alone? So it's like, I think it's going to be like one of those things where they're trying to capture someone. It's a little disjointed, but, you know.
You want to talk about the boots animation?
I feel like the CGI recently has become so weird.
Right, it just looked weird.
It looked strange, because it's like, are you trying... You're not obviously not trying to go for something realistic.
I know, I was like, we could just make him look like a real monkey that's blue.
Yeah.
That's literally what Boots is.
He's a real
monkey that's blue that wears
he
boots.
Also, yeah, and it's like, you don't have to go... They're trying to go for, like, the Detective Pikachu route, I feel like, where they're, like, nice and cuddly, but, like, fake at the same
time. But also, Boots is based off a real animal and Pokemon are not, right.
So it's like, it's hard to balance, and I'm like, you're so close. And that's why I'm a little scared why they didn't show Swiper.
I know,
because
I was
like, oh no, did they go to the Sonic group for Swiper?
You fucked it up! You fucked up!
You fucked up Swiper, didn't ya?
You fucking Benicio Del Toro fucking signed up for this film and you screwed it up.
He got a paycheck. He's fine. He had to go into the recording booth for 45 minutes, probably.
Literally.
That's it. And Danny Trejo,
I bet he has to go, oh, man!
Like, six times. Literally, if he does that, I want a GIF of this. And I want it forever.
Okay.
Well, that makes no sense because of the fact I went here, Benicio Del Toro, say, oh man, I want this YouTube video pinned to my Twitter profile.
For the rest of my life.
Oh my god. I mean, I don't know. The cast list is just fucking insane.
I am.
For this, for a Nickelodeon film. And, I mean, Eva Longoria, Michael Pena. I mean, that's amazing.
I know.
Those two are huge cast.
And Danny Trejo?
Danny Trejo.
Whoa.
Benicio del fucking Toro, like I said four times before, incredible actor. You know, most people know him from that old man movie.
That old man.
No,
movie.
No country for old men.
It's like, I think this is what guilty means.
Yeah.
Yes, you're correct.
You know, and so I think, like, the parents go, "Oh, Benicio del Toro
must be a good film.
Must be a good movie."
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, those are most of my notes.
Okay.
Do you have any notes that we didn't go over?
I feel like it's going to be a lot of, like, tropey stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it's a kid's movie, but I'm also like, whoa.
Okay. You're like, okay.
Like, you've got the, like, bitchy girl who's like, oh my god, look, Dora brought a knife with her. Oh my god, look, Dora knows the fucking monkey. And then by the end, she'll be like, Dora and I are best friends because we had a funny experience on our journey.
Isn't it great?
And then, like, sending, like, the girl from the jungle to the city, and she's out of place, like, how Mean Girls. Like,
okay, I can't tell you how much I love all of these tropes, though.
This is the worst now.
I feel like, so my last note is that I have a lot of questions, and nothing about this is making me want to watch it.
Great. Honestly, maybe, like, I'd watch this on, like, Netflix, I feel like. I feel like they're supposed to be like, wow, fuck it, I'm so bored. Let me just watch this movie on Netflix. Or Hulu, wherever it may be. Amazon Prime.
Good for you.
Thank
probably.
You. Yeah. I
don't think I will be seeing this unless I am seeing it with a small child who is forcing me to watch it.
An 11-year-old child.
Probably not.
12 years old.
Guessing that nobody over the age of an X amount. Six going years old. Probably more probably, like that.
Probably nine.
No, I'm going to say like eight is going to be the...
Well, eight makes sense.
It's going to be like the highest that you're really reaching here,
Well, when
here,
you
I think,
see your patients,
we'll
you know...
You'll oh, I'll ask them. Don't you worry.
Did you see the Dora the Explorer movie and we'll have like the gas?
I mean, I'll ask them before we put on the mask to get the most reliable answer. But thank you. Yes, I will definitely be polling
please,
my patients.
Please, I need to be polled.
I will come back with the hard facts for
okay.
everybody.
Guys, I saw 7 patients today, and out of 7, 0 saw the movie.
Out of all the patients I saw, the oldest Jeff that saw this film was...
9 years old.
Can't wait to report back.
We'll be waiting.
When does this movie come out, Kelsey?
That's a great question I don't have an answer to, so just give me 1 second.
No problem. I'm just wondering when I can get back to the folks at home about who the oldest children will be.
July 31st.
Wow. All right.
It's late.
Yeah, it's a little...
But it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, summer film. All right. So I'll report back in...
August,
September?
Can it be a birthday treat for me?
Kelsey, if you had really fucking loved this trailer, and you were like, the only thing I
want
for my birthday is to
see this
film.
Honestly, this might be my top five.
Shut up! That we've ever done, this is your top five?
No, like, this year so far.
This is your... Okay, well, how many have we done this year?
We've done quite a few.
Alright, whatever. If you said this was the only thing you wanted for your birthday, I would fucking go to this with you, because I love you.
No, I'm good. Again, Netflix.
Great.
Cool.
Wow. All right.
All right. So, great discussion. Should we do some business?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some business. All right. So, you can catch us every other week here on iTunes, Anchor, or Overcast, where you can rate and subscribe to capture any episodes. That we publish our regular episodes and any bonus episodes.
Which could come out on any day of the week.
Like a Thursday.
Like a Thursday. What?
What? we just dropped our Avengers. As we're recording it, it's a Thursday, and we just dropped our Avengers 2-hour-long
discussion.
Oh, boy.
And God bless anybody that listens to that whole thing.
I honestly, the people that have currently listened to it, I want to shake their hands. So thank you. If you want to talk to us more about Dora the Explorer, Dora and the Lost City of Gold,
Men in Black, Tessa Thompson,
Chris
Tessa
Hemsworth.
Thompson and her supposed relationship with Janelle Monáe,
Chris Hemsworth, if you have any like stories, I don't know.
In case you've met him personally and you have any stories. For us. We'd love
just
to hear about it.
We'd love to hear from you, Chris Hemsworth.
So you can reach us on social media at Too Many Trailers on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Or you can email us if you have any longer thoughts other than 280 characters at TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's T-W-O, ManyTrailers@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. I forgot to spell it.
Very welcome.
Yeah, except you got your new outro for
us.
I
keep forgetting the outro.
That's what I'm here for, to remind you to do the great thing that you created.
Thank you. You're a great co-host. So before we close out the episode, we just want to leave you with some parting wisdom. Don't judge movies by their trailers. Leave that up to us. Have a great rest of your whenever.
See you next time.
Bye.